word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible.
You know, there can be tremendous power in even the simplest of words. For example, Satan knows the power of tempting us to just use the word later when it comes to our spiritual responsibilities. He knows he doesn't have to convince us to say no, as long as he can keep convincing us to say later. I know what God wants from me. I know what I should do. I know that I should stop this, and I'm going to. I want to do that, or I want to stop that, but I'll do that later. Later. God often is saying now to us when we are saying later. And we need to hear the Lord when he is saying that now is the time. So here's what I want us to think about in this lesson this morning. When it comes to our relationship with God, when it comes to our faithfulness to the Bible, when it comes to our spiritual responsibilities, do we have a now mindset or a later mindset? And I hope to bring out some things from Scripture today that will be an encouragement to us so that we can have that now mindset instead of that later mindset. When it comes to our spiritual responsibilities, we should be saying now and not later. Now, why is that so important? Well, consider a couple of things here with me. You know, now is the accepted time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, the Bible says, "For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." In times past, God's plan was not yet completed. If you go back to the Old Testament, you even go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, right after Adam and Eve sinned and they ate of the forbidden fruit. And God, he issued a promise there in the garden that the time would come later. Later, the seed of woman would come who would crush the head of that serpent. Later, he would come and solve the problem. And throughout all of the Old Testament prophecies about Jesus Christ, it was always looking forward. Later on, the Savior will come. Later on, he will die on the cross. Later on, he will rise from the dead. Even while Jesus was here upon this earth, there were times when he told his disciples that right now is not the right time. We need to wait until later. Often when there would be attempts on his life, he would say, "My hour has not yet come." It wasn't the right time for him to die. When the disciples would see these great things, he would say, "Don't tell anyone about this now. Wait till later. Wait till after my resurrection." But you see, now God's plan has been completed. Jesus has died on the cross. He said from the cross, "It is finished." He has risen from the dead. He has established his church. He has completed the things that he intended to do. So in 2 Corinthians 6:2, the Bible doesn't say later an acceptable time will come, later the day of salvation will come, later will be the day of salvation. No. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And what a shame it would be. Here we are today, knowing the love that Jesus has shown for us at the cross, knowing the hope that is possible now because of the resurrection, and God, as it were, extending open arms to us and saying, here it is. Here is your invitation to be saved and to have a relationship with me that's going to last forever. And here it is. Only to hear us say, well, yeah, that looks great, but can I wait till later? Can I wait till later to be saved? Can I wait till later to listen to the Bible? Can I wait till later to do what it says? Friends, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Not only is now the accepted time, but now is the best time. I must admit that with some things, I am a procrastinator. I have to confess, I have a tendency with things to put some things off. I try not to put off the things that are really important, like my salvation and my relationship with God. But other things, they have a tendency to get put on the back burner. You know, sometimes, especially if the job is a big job and there's a lot to it, and I'm, you know, somewhat constrained with my time, I just have a tendency, you know, just feels so big that I just have a tendency to keep putting it off and putting it off, thinking, well, I'll have more time later. I'll be in a better position later, and I'll just wait till later. So many times I've found if I'll just buckle down and just take the first step, you know, don't try to do the whole thing all at once, but just try to take the first step. And once you get that ball rolling, you know, things fall into motion and it goes pretty smoothly from that point forward. But sometimes taking the first step can be the hardest step to take. And the first step is an important step because the reality is, even though we keep thinking this is going to be so much easier later, the truth is the longer you put something off, the more difficult it becomes to get it done. And that's almost always the case. In reality, it will never be easier to do the right thing than it is right now. Did you hear that? It will never be easier to do the right thing than it is right now. That's why the Bible says, remember now your Creator. Remember now, not later, because it will never be easier than it is now. The passage goes on to say, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them, Ecclesiastes 12:1. See, the difficult days are coming, and the longer you put this off, the more difficult it's going to be. So remember now your Creator. You know, when we say later, we waste time. Time is one of the most valuable gifts that we have. And all of this time that we allow to waste is time that we can never get back, that we can give to the glory of God. Only if we're willing to say now can we give God everything that we have left to give. The Bible teaches us to make the most of the time that God gives us, to redeem the time, because the days are evil, Ephesians 5:16. There's a story about a king who sent for his jester, and he presented the jester with a stick as a gift. And he told him to keep this stick until he could find a bigger fool than himself. And the jester, he thought it was rather funny himself. He kept the stick, He was a nice talking piece. He could tell people how the king had given it to him and what the circumstances were and everything. So for years he walked around carrying this stick, and evidently didn't find a bigger fool than himself, so he hung on to it. A lot of time passed. The king grew very sick and soon realized that he would not recover. He wanted to see his friend, the jester, one last time. So the jester entered the room, and the king said, "Friend, I'm going away." The jester asked, "Have you prepared for the journey that you're about to take?" The king said, "No, not really, but I feel okay. I think I'll be okay." And it was then that the jester took the stick and handed it back to the king and said, "I found a bigger fool than myself. See, I only joke around about the things of this life, but you're joking around with matters that are eternal." When it comes to spiritual things, "later" is one of the worst words that we can use. It's one of the worst attitudes that we can have. We don't want to be saying "later" when God is saying "now." Not only is now the accepted time, not only is now the best time, but the reality is that now may be the only time. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Later is a fantasy. Now is the only reality that is certain. And when we say "later," we're counting on something that may not even be there. A person says, I want to be baptized, but I'm going to do it later." What is later? We don't even know if later will even come. Someone said, "I know I need to get back in the church, and I'm going to do that, but I'm going to have to do it later." But what is later? We don't even know. There are no guarantees that later will even come. I heard about a preacher who'd been studying the Bible with a young woman for quite some time. She kept putting off making a decision about obeying the gospel. One day he handed her a piece of paper, and it had the following statement on it, and he wanted her to sign her name to this statement. The statement said, "I will obey the gospel 1 year from today." She wouldn't sign it. A year away? Well, a lot can happen in a year's time. So he took that piece of paper away, brought out another one. This one said, "I will obey the gospel 6 months from today." She couldn't sign that one either. A lot can happen in 6 months. He changed it to 1 month. She hesitated. She almost signed it, but then she said no. And she began to see just how foolish it was for her to keep waiting and saying "later" when she knew what she needed to do today. That young lady was baptized into Christ that very day. See, the reality is that today may be the only opportunity that we have to do the things that the Lord would have us to do. This day may be our last chance. We really need to wake up with a mindset that we can make each day the best one that we've ever had, because it very well could be the last one that we ever have. I have on occasion been asked to speak at funerals for people about the same age as I am. You have that opportunity. It really brings home just how fragile life can be. One funeral in particular that comes to mind is a young man who simply went to sleep one night and didn't wake up the next day. No health issues, no warning whatsoever, no indication that night when he went to bed that that would be his last night. Nothing to warn him in that way. That's the way it happened. Life is so fragile. Later is nothing but a fantasy. Now is the only guarantee that we have in life. Let's make up our minds to start saying, now. Now I will obey the gospel. Now I will follow God's word. Now I will be a faithful, fervent member of the Lord's church. Now I will serve God with all that I have. Now is the best time. Now is the accepted time. And the reality is that now may be the only time that we have to do that. In John chapter 4, there is a great emphasis on the word now. Jesus' eyes were open to the opportunities that were all around him and the present moment that he had to make the most of those opportunities. His disciples' eyes were not so open to that. They were more, Jesus was more in a now mindset, and they were more in a later mindset. And there's a drastic contrast that you can see between those two mindsets in this text. For example, in John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. Jesus deliberately passed through Samaria because he knew there was an opportunity there. He could see tremendous potential in Samaria. Now, you have to appreciate the magnitude of that. There was intense hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans. The Jews viewed the Samaritans as traitors. They were dogs. They despised them. Many Jews, when they were traveling north and south from Galilee to Judea, would travel miles out of the way just to go around Samaria, just because they did not want Samaritan dirt touching their feet. They hated those people. And to the minds of the disciples who had been Jews and were Jews, when they looked at Samaria, they would not have seen any potential there at all. That was a place to avoid. But the Bible says that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. He saw potential there. He saw an opportunity. You know, when Jesus came into Samaria, he came to a well. He knew what he would find there. He found a woman. She had come there to draw water. This woman had been married several times in her life. She was currently living with a man who she was not married to. So she was living. She'd had a rough road in her life, and she'd made some bad choices. And there she was, sitting at that well. Jesus opened up his heart to her. He started to talk to her. He asked her for a drink of water, and she was surprised that a Jew would ask a Samaritan for a drink of water, particularly that he would show any interest in a Samaritan woman. But he did. He showed interest in her. The disciples were in town looking for food there for a while, and when they came back, they saw Jesus talking to this woman. And they marveled that he talked to her. They wondered, why is he wasting his time talking to her? Disciples would have never dreamed of approaching this Samaritan woman as a prospect for God's kingdom. In their minds, this was the wrong time, it was the wrong place, and she was the wrong person. But Jesus saw the potential that they did not see. And in his mind, it was the right time, it was the right place, and she was the right person. And you know what happened? That woman became a true convert to the Lord and a fervent worker. In John 4:28, the Bible says that the woman left her water pot. She went her way into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" And then they went out of the city and came to him. Verse 39, "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.' So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, 'Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Wow. Here's this woman. She takes the message to her heart. She believes it. She accepts it. She goes into her village and she begins to tell everyone who will listen about this man. "He told me things about myself that no one else could have known. He is the Christ." And so they come out to find out more about Jesus. And they listen to Jesus, and guess what? They believe. Now, not just because of what she said, because they've seen it for themselves. And these Samaritans confess that he is indeed the Christ. You have to see the contrast. When Jesus preached in Nazareth, his own hometown, do you know what they tried to do? They tried to run him out to the edge of the city and throw him off a cliff. But now in a village of the Samaritans, who supposedly are dogs to the Jews, even without doing any miracles, Jesus preaches, and these people are confessing that he is the Christ. You know, an interesting thing about the people in that village. I said a moment ago that while Jesus was sitting at the well with the woman, his disciples went into the village to buy food. My guess would be that while they were buying food, the disciples ran into some of these same people who came out to hear Jesus later. Why didn't they reach out to them? Why didn't Peter try to talk to some of these Samaritans about Jesus? Why didn't John reach out to them? Evidently, these disciples thought their efforts would be wasted there. Now is not a good place. Now is not a good time to be talking to others about Jesus. But in reality, now was the perfect time. Jesus could see that. His eyes were open. Now is the time. Now is the time to be doing the Lord's work. Now is the time to be telling others about Jesus, so that they can be saved. Jesus wants us to open our eyes to the opportunities that are right in front of us. If you've never been baptized, then now is your opportunity to do that. And you'll never have a better opportunity than the one you have right now. Jesus says, "He who believes in me and is baptized shall be saved." Every sin that you've ever committed can be washed away in the blood of Jesus. if you believe and if you're willing to be baptized. And now that opportunity is right in front of you. I pray you won't close your eyes to the opportunity. The disciples had this later mindset. They closed their eyes. Don't do that, please. Now is your opportunity. If you have obeyed the gospel, but you strayed away from the Lord's church and you've been thinking in your heart that you know you need to get back into His church, you may want to close your eyes and you may want to think that now is not the time to do that. Later would be better, but I'm begging you, my friend, now is the time. And the Lord wants you to see the opportunity that's right in front of you. If you're a Christian and you have someone in your life that you've had on your heart that you know you need to talk to them about the gospel and lead them to salvation, and you've had them on your heart for quite some time, but you keep telling yourself that later would be better to pursue that, I am pleading with you to realize that now is the time. Jesus says, do not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Now is the time, he says. There's no better time than now. Now is the time to obey the gospel of Christ. Now is the time to reach out to those who are lost. Now is the time to join in the work of the Lord's church. There's a story about a preacher who was once called to speak to a large assembly gathered at a local prison. Hundreds of men were there for the sermon. During the service, the preacher noticed 2 young men. They looked to be in their 20s. And they were sitting to the side, separated from the rest of the group. After the service, while talking to the warden, he happened to think about it, and so he asked the warden why those 2 men were sitting by themselves. The warden explained that these men were on death row, and they would be executed in the electric chair in just a few days. On the way home, the preacher was emotionally overcome as he realized that he had preached the last sermon that they would ever hear. It almost just forces you to ask yourself this question. When will I hear the last sermon that I will ever hear? When will my last opportunity to obey the gospel come? I can't answer that question. But what I do know for certain is that now we have an opportunity to have a right relationship with God, and we need to make the most of that opportunity. Now is the time, my friend. And if there's any way that we can help you, please contact us today.
Unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
To my feet and alive.